prior to the 60 season, you got another phone call. And this one's from your old friend George Kell. And this one takes you to Tiger Town.
What happened was the Orioles were finishing the season in New York, and we'd had a game at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. It was a night game, and I got back to the Hotel Roosevelt, and it was fairly late, and the phone rang. It was George Kell, and he said, Ernie Van Patrick is out. He's not going to be the announcer anymore here with the Tigers. I've worked with him this year, 1959. The Tigers asked me to call you and find out if you're interested in leaving Baltimore and coming to Detroit to be the announcer. And I said, well, George, I love Baltimore. I'm having a good time there. Things are going good, but I'd be foolish not to listen to some kind of an offer. Tell them that I'm interested, and we'll see what happens. So I went to my sponsors, Gunther, and told them that I'd had this conversation, and they wanted me to come out and talk to them in Detroit. And they said, well, go ahead and just give us the courtesy of coming back and telling us about the offer and see if we want to meet it or not. I went out and I talked to Mr. Harry Sisson during the World Series of 59. And he took me over to meet John Stroh. The Stroh Brewery was buying the rights to the Tigers beginning the next year. And I met Mr. Stroh at the brewery, and they made me an offer. It was pretty good. And I was attracted to it. I went back and talked to Gunther, and they said, well, that's more than we can manage, so good luck, and we enjoyed having you here, and so forth. So I left and went to Detroit, and it's probably the best move that I ever made because I stayed there a while, and I really appreciated the great love and affection that the people of Michigan have shown me over the years.
Again, sponsorships played a big part in a job change.
Oh, it did. Van Patrick had been working for a brewery called Goebel, and they switched to Stroh, and Stroh wasn't too anxious to have Van continue as the announcer because he had identification with their brewing rivals, so I think that at least partially led to his dismissal.
Now, George Kell had replaced Mel Ott.
Right. Mel Ott had been killed in an automobile accident in 58, and he and his wife were hit by a car down in Louisiana. Mrs. Ott survived, but Mel died, and George replaced Mel. So he'd had a year under his belt when I came there.
The last day of spring training, there was a blockbuster trade between the Tigers and the Cleveland Indians. What precipitated that trade?
Well, that was one of the great trades of all time because generally when you two clubs trade, they usually trade a couple of Humpty Dumpties, as Clint Courtney once said, guys that don't help either team. But this was Harvey Keene of the Tigers going to Cleveland in exchange for Rocky Colavito. Harvey Keene was the American League batting champion. Colavito was a home run champion. So you had two stars being traded for each other. And I can remember Rick Farrell, who was vice president, general manager of the Tigers, came to the press box the final day of spring training. We were finishing up our broadcast. And he came into the press box and said, we've got a deal, and he told us what the deal was. And sure enough, the Tigers and the Indians opened the season in Cleveland, 1960, and these two guys who had been traded for each other played against each other in that first game.
Had it ever happened before, or has it happened since, when the batting champion and the home run champion were swapped for each other?
Not that I know of. It might have, but I can't recall it, Bob. It's entirely possible, but it was a unique situation at that time.
What were your first thoughts when you walked into Tiger Stadium?
My first time in Tiger Stadium actually was with the Orioles. I had gone there in 1954. Baltimore opened their modern big league history with a game at what was in Briggs Stadium in 1954, and Steve Gromack shut out Baltimore, beat them 3-0. Boone hit a home run. I remember that were two or three home runs off the Tiger bats, and that was my first look at Tiger Stadium. Then the Orioles beat him in the second game and went back to open in Baltimore. But when I went in as a Tiger announcer, it was something special because now this was going to be my home. I was going to be in this little booth as much as I was going to be in my living room during the summer, and I was going to be part of the Tiger franchise. So it was a great moment for me when I went back there in 1960 and became the Tiger announcer.
The Keene for Colavito trade was not the only trade that got headlines that season for the Tigers and the Cleveland Indians, was it?
No, and they had another very interesting situation, another unique trade. I don't think this has ever happened before or after. Two managers were traded for each other. Jimmy Dykes was the manager at Detroit, and Joe Gordon was the manager at Cleveland. And Bill DeWitt was the president of the Tigers, and Frank Lane was a big boss in Cleveland, and they got together and decided that they couldn't switch a lot of players, so they would trade managers. And Gordon came to Detroit, and Jimmy Dykes went to Cleveland. And I don't think either one of the managers liked that very much. They thought it sort of denigrated their position being traded. And Gordon quit after a year with the Tigers. He announced his retirement on the trip back from Kansas City after the final game. Jimmy went ahead because Jimmy always showed up somewhere, you know. He was a great little pixie who loved cigars and stories and a terrific guy, and he stayed in baseball for quite a while.